Mouthing Off is a theater, arts, and culture podcast from Bad Mouth Theater Company in St. Paul, Minnesota. I'm Amanda Forstrom.
I'm Kevin Couchman.
And I'm Mari Sittner. Mouthing Off features compelling interviews and discussions with artists and creators from around the Twin Cities and beyond.
Tune in for something different online where you get your podcasts at badmouthtc.com and on the air in St. Paul through Frogtown Radio 94.1 FM.
And if you've got something going on around the Twin Cities you'd like to talk about, we want to hear from you. Email us at badmouthtc@gmail.com.
Mouthing Off is sponsored by Minnesota Playlist, the digital destination for live performing arts. Producers can find talent to work with, directors can cast productions with audition ads, teachers can find students with a classified, and audiences can find the perfect show to attend on the state's largest calendar of theater and dance shows. Find out more at minnesotaplaylist.com.
We hope you enjoy the show.
We're back with another episode of Mouthing Off, the Theater Arts and Culture Podcast from Bad Mouth Theater Company. I'm Kevin Couchman. I am joined by a full house here tonight. Mari Sittner in sweltering New York City, I believe in Manhattan. How is it there, Mari? And are you remaining cool and calm and collected?
I don't know about calm and collected, but this AC is blowing and doing the most. And
sure.
I'm so thankful to have modern technology right now, which is not something I usually say. So
right. Very good. Yeah. And we can't hear a thing for the AC. So something's working, right? And then, of course, Amanda Forstrom here in beautiful, warm, nice Minnesota. How are you, Amanda?
I'm doing excellent. We are getting a reprieve from the June rains, as it were.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Now July.
Oh.
So
yes.
It's excellent. Doing well. And I'm
yeah,
super
and it's
excited
for
this episode. Yeah,
so you're going to introduce our guests. We have two guests. So we've got, like I said, we got a full house. And Amanda is going to introduce our first of the two. All right.
Yes. Welcome to Mouthing Off. I'm super excited because I have wanted this guest to come on for a long time. We've been talking about this for a long time in the making. And so she is finally here. The wonderful, uber talented, and if you know her, fashionista, of course, Tara Borman, who I was castmates with in Sidekick Theater's Perfect Wedding. And she was hilarious, a la Lucille Ball. Just giving comedic chops, chomping all over the place. It was amazing. It was just so wonderful. And she's in a new show going on right now at Theater in the Round, and it's called Endometriosis the Musical.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to be talking with us today, along with Nora Sonneborn, who is also in the cast of Endometriosis the Musical. So I'm super excited to learn about that and how the process is going and how the show is going, because you guys are open. So Tara, yes, take it away.
Oh my God. That was such a nice intro. Thanks, Amanda. Yeah, I'm so excited to be on the pod and to talk about Endometriosis the Musical. Something both Nora and I are super passionate about is this show. It's just such a good show. And so we're really excited to come on here and talk about it and promote it for our last two weekends. We run through July 13th over at Theater in the Round. We're both members of the original cast when it was produced in the Fringe. What year was that, Nora? I don't remember what year.
2022?
Yeah. I keep trying
that
to say
right.
2023, but maybe it was, yeah. That feels like so long ago. But yeah, so we're just really pumped to be here. Did I answer any questions?
This is perfect. I was going to say, like, let's plug the show a little bit. You could buy tickets at theaterintheround.org, theatertheround.org. And it is Fridays and Saturdays at 7:30 p.m., Sundays at 2 p.m., but there's no show on July 4th because mm-hmm. we will be parading or eating hot dogs or waving flags or eating candy from the parades, whatever have you. So they won't be on stage. But kind of rewinding, I'd like to go back just to get a little origin stories from you, Nora, and Tara about how you kind of ended up here acting in this musical in Minneapolis. And yeah, where and what's maybe next for you after. But yeah, origin story, Nora.
Yeah, absolutely. I love this story, kind of how I got involved in this show. I was doing a musical called Once at the time. A good friend of mine, Leslie Vincent, was in the show with me as well. Incredible singer, songwriter, performing artist in the Twin Cities. And I think they had done like one reading of this show prior to the Fringe version. And she came to me and sort of pitched it to me, said, I know this comedy musical that's going up in the Fringe this summer that I think you'd be great in. And immediately I was like, Fringe musical, pass, no thanks. But I let her connect me with Maria Bartoldi, the script writer. And she sent me the script and some demos that she and Kristen Stowell, the music director and writer, wrote for the show. And I was immediately hooked, texted some of my friends to get them involved, which was so much fun. And 3 years later, here we are. We did that Fringe version. We did a development reading, and now we've got our full produced production.
What a delight to carry something from germination all the way through. How fun. What is endometriosis for the people in the back?
Oh, let me tell you, straight from the show, straight from the book.
Nora plays the endometriosis specialist in the show. One of her many characters that she plays.
Sure. So and you don't have to do any vocal warm-ups because you just say the name of the show. You know,
warmed up. It is an inflammatory disease that affects the whole body. A tissue similar to the lining that is inside of your uterus. It grows outside of it instead. It can mess up a whole bunch of stuff. It can connect your organs together, cause lesions, scar tissue, cysts. They've found it as far away as people's brains and eyeballs, and nobody really knows why it happens or how to treat it effectively, apart from really invasive surgeries that may have to be repeated in the future. It is very underdiagnosed. It actually affects 1 in 10 people who menstruate, and on average takes 10 to 12 years to diagnose. Wild statistics for a disease that affects 10% of people that menstruate. And so we wrote a comedy musical about it.
I love it. This is the era we're in. I appreciate that. That's very fun. So how many years did you say it was from sort of conception to this full, production? 3?
Well, I believe Maria and Kristen started writing it in 2020. And I think it was intended to go in the Fringe that year. Didn't happen. Don't know why.
Sure.
Something might have happened. And then maybe they did a reading back then. But yeah, 2022 was when we started work on the Fringe show.
Cool. Yeah, I don't know if the typical person who's not a theater person really realizes how damned long it takes to get, especially a musical, to get from, I have an idea, it's called Endometriosis the Musical, and how wonderful that you made it all the way here, right? To the stage. I mean, it's just wild. It's so much work and so many hands touch it before it ever arrives. That's one of my favorite things about theater.
Oh, me too. I love new works like this. It's just so fun to be able to sort of get your hands dirty working on a new script.
Yeah, absolutely. And Tara, so what can the audience expect if they take the chance and they purchase a ticket now at Theater in the Round from Endometriosis, the musical? What can they expect?
Oh gosh, so much. They can expect to laugh and cry. Laugh the hardest they've ever laughed in their lives, probably. If you have my sense of humor, which I feel like a lot of people might. But it's a hilarious show. The music is good. You'll be dancing in your seat. You'll be singing along by the end of the show. And there are also some really poignant, truthful moments. We were talking about this actually on opening weekend. Sometimes in a show, when there's a topic that you're discussing that's kind of sensitive, like women's health issues or the healthcare industry in general, you might say something that rings true for a lot of people, but how do you as an audience member show the cast or show the people on stage that you're appreciating what they're saying? It's one of those moments where you kind of want to say yes, you know what I mean? How do you let the people on stage know when it's not a laughable moment necessarily, But it's more of like a yes moment. You'll have lots of those yes moments during this show.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Sure. Right on. Yeah. Fun. Cool.
There are also some emotional moments in the show, especially if you have experience with this disease, which a lot of people do, 1 in 10 women, like Nora said. But I mean, really anybody would enjoy this show, not only enjoy it, but learn something from it.
Yeah, that's so interesting. Yeah, it sounds like the treatment is really vague and it could come back and we don't really know what it is. Yeah, that's really unnerving. Why does it take, and maybe back to Nora, because Nora, you brought this up first, why does it take so long to diagnose? Is it just missed and they're not looking, or?
Well, it's a complicated answer to that. There's a lot of factors that go into it. Sunday, we actually had a talk back with an endometriosis expert who I learned so much from. A really big part of it is that there's not a lot of funding into diseases and conditions that affect primarily or mostly women. I think culturally for a long time, it was just sort of accepted that periods are painful when that doesn't actually have to be the case. So a lot of complaints and pain gets dismissed in hospitals and in medical.
Absolutely. Care.
And on top of that, the only way to diagnose this that we know of right now is laparoscopic surgery, which is very invasive.
And it's expensive.
Extremely expensive and painful and hard to recover from. And right now, that's really the only way to confirm if
you have to. You have to do the surgery to confirm it. So yeah, the healthcare industry is going to love that. The insurance guys are going to love that. Yeah.
One of the, you know, well, we have to see it to believe it. And in order to do that, you know, and so that gets very tricky, you know.
Yeah, that's a big topic in the show is, I mean, obviously it's endometriosis, the musical, but I think anyone that has had any sort of strife trying to get their pain taken seriously in healthcare is going to really, really relate.
Fun. Mari, do you have anything for these collaborators on Endometriosis the Musical now at Theater in the Round?
Well, Nora, I know that one of your characters is the endometriosis specialist, but can you guys tell me a little bit about some of the characters that you play? Do you play multiple characters?
Okay, how long do you have?
Yeah, we've
got about 45, 50 minutes.
Okay, well, that might be enough time.
We both have sort of main, the story centers around an office called Business Incorporated, in which they do business, and we are business people. We have sort of like office characters. I play the personification of Aunt Flo. We play a doctor here and there.
Do you have a favorite character that you play? Or you love them all?
I gotta go Aunt Flo. No spoilers, but she's got some real fun audience interaction.
Pretty sassy, I bet.
Oh, yeah. I love Aunt Flo.
Always shows up when she's never wanted.
Exactly.
You know? Yes.
I feel like I should hold my tongue, but if you want to collaborate on Hernia, the musical. I'm getting some experience with this, so that'll be fun. 1 in 4 men get hernias, so, and it requires surgery. And if you just watch television, you'd think it's a funny joke, and no, you got to go under the knife. That's fun.
That sounds like a musical to me, Kevin.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, exactly. So I listen to the Endometriosis, the Musical people. Ring me up. You know,
there's a great episode of South Park about getting a hernia, so
yeah, okay.
You can look to that for inspiration.
Yeah. Maybe I'll go to the I'll do that after I go to the doctor, Mari. That sounds like fun.
The second experts on all South Park.
Aren't we? It's so everybody's laughing because it's so uncomfortable. But aren't we like all? It's just so unusual to go to the doctor for these things, especially when I'm you know middle aged now, and it's like starting to happen. And you go like, oh no, you know, what is this? Why would this happen to me? You know, and you just go, it just happens to people. You know, it's not your fault and your body's just squirrely. So it's very rarely diagnosed, but 1 in 10 people have it. Again, I'm circling back a little bit, but like, what are the major symptoms again? You know, what do people start to complain about? And then they go in another, and I'm just going to really quickly say, another disease that is under diagnosed in women is heart disease, because heart disease in women presents differently than in men. And so the common symptoms everybody kind of knows and the doctors are trained. So in any event, yeah, this is not isolated to this disease or whatnot. So what do people start to feel or see, you know, happen, you know, to go in?
Well, there are lines in the show that list these symptoms off as well.
Oh, I love a list in a show. I do.
It's during a song, so it's more entertaining than just, standing and saying the list. But the some of the symptoms are pain with menstruation, pain with intercourse, constipation, bloating, fatigue, diarrhea, depression, pain with urination, heavy bleeding, back pain. So it's like typical period symptoms, I guess you could call it, quote unquote, typical period symptoms. There are also some GI symptoms. A lot of people, I mean, Jane in the show, the character Jane in the show, she gets referred to a gastroenterologist because she is experiencing GI symptoms, thinking maybe it's that.
Yeah, that's tough because that's kind of just, it's a grab bag of like, well, you're just, it's this or that or this or that. And it's like, what did you eat? And, they're just going down their list. And the last thing they're going to recommend is surgery to discover this relatively common thing. But, anyway, they're going to do the cost benefit analysis and everything. Yeah. And the insurance providers are not going to cover it. Yeah, sorry. Go on,
What I
Nora.
learned from that endo expert this weekend too is that, I mean, the hallmark symptom is this like excruciatingly painful period. But that is another reason why it's so underdiagnosed, is because it is one of those diseases that's different for everyone. The endometriosis can grow anywhere in your body, which means it can present any sort of variety of symptoms. So yeah, that's another little check on that list of why it's not super common to be diagnosed.
Yeah, and I will say a lot of those symptoms are obviously symptoms of common symptoms of other things like, UTIs and other like for my example, I had an undiagnosed thyroid issue, had no clue that that's what was going on, but it was like fatigue, depression, back pain, things like that, and so the common symptoms across a lot of things that deal with your endocrine system, and reproductory parts are the same for women. And so it's really hard to pinpoint where it's coming from unless you have, nutrition, you go to a nutritionist, gastroenterologist, you go to,
Nailed
get your
it.
blood test, nailed it, crushed it. That's why I'm an actor. And
Absolutely. That is why it is so hard to diagnose, and or one of the reasons why. And it's just so funny that we're all sitting here like you were talking about hernias, Kevin, and now you're talking about a thyroid issue, Amanda. It's the show isn't just about endometriosis. Yes, it's about endometriosis, yes, but it's also about navigating the sometimes tricky, sometimes hard to deal with healthcare system in America. So it's about this sort of larger issue, which is why I think a lot of people can relate to it on a really deep level. Even though it is an absurdist comedy, they can still relate to it. And there are points where something really strikes a chord with them. Even if they don't have endometriosis, don't, know about anybody with endometriosis, they can still relate to the show.
And then my next question kind of has to do with the process, which I don't know. You guys are in the cast, so but you're the original cast. My first question is, how many of the original cast are coming back, or is for has been in it from the beginning?
Yeah, we've got four of us. So the original cast had six cast members. It now has eight. Some characters got added through the development process, but myself, Tara, Abby Holmstrom, and Allie O'Keefe are all returning from the original Fringe cast, which is so exciting.
And then how do you know what sort of what the kind of the seed of the idea of how this kind of started, and then why Fringe, and then how did it make this leap, which is super cool and rare for a Fringe show to go to a main stage production in a theater season, and like how that leap happened.
This is a great story. So, thank you for asking that question. The two creators of the show, Maria Bartholdi and Kristen Stoll, they are lifelong friends. They met in first grade, have been collaborating ever since. They sort of went in different directions. Kristen is an incredible music director based on the East Coast, and Maria has stayed in town and is a wildly successful podcaster and improver. So she kind of went to the comedy world. Kristen sort of went to the music world. And in 2020, Kristen was living in Minneapolis for the first time. They were in the same place for the first time since their childhoods and said, hey, let's take this opportunity to make something together. It went through a couple iterations. They had a couple different ideas, but Kristen was living with endometriosis and said, hey, I have this idea for, at first it was just like a song cycle about women's healthcare, narrowed it down to endometriosis, became what it is today. And they wrote that gorgeous little 45-minute package. We did it in the Fringe. It was a smashing success. We were so excited. Sold out many performances, turned people away, which is like kind of wild in the Fringe. And our venue was Theater in the Round. They took notice of that. And once we closed that Fringe run, we won a couple of awards, sort of went our separate ways. And they reached out to Maria and Kristen and said, hey, we've got this program that we help shows develop themselves a little bit more with a little bit of a help and present a stage reading at the end of the process. So that was in 2023. They wrote, I think it was a 90-minute length version of it that went up at Theater in the Round for one night only. We all came in and read through that. And then they approached Maria and Kristen and asked them if they would like to join the main season. Expanded the show just a little bit more, got it to a full two-act version. And I have to throw in this little final crumb of knowledge. I mentioned that Kristen had been living with endometriosis, and that's why they wrote the show. But actually, 2 months ago, Maria was diagnosed with endometriosis as well. She wrote this whole show not aware that this was something that she was actually living with and dealing with. And yeah, kind of crazy synchronicity there.
Mm-hmm. What are the odds?
Well, wow. 1 in 10.
Well, I think it would be 1 in 100, I think, is what it would be. But something like that. I don't know. Whatever. I'm a radio guy. And yeah. That is so great. That's like a charmed, you know, I'm a playwright. And it's like, that's an amazing experience. Just a nurturing, fun, you know, that's the best. That's what you want out of theater. So kudos.
Yeah. And it's just so much fun to be able to grow and change with a show. And I'm curious how the show changed from that original 45-minute little package, because I know you say that they added characters, which is amazing, because usually in the development process things get cut, so that's really lovely that you guys got to add more to the story that you already loved. Tell me about that.
Well, we added 2 new characters. One of them is Jane's roommate, Greg, and the other one is Ashley, who is kind of a kooky, creepy love interest of my character. Yeah, that's a good question about why they were at, but I'm glad they were.
I think we got to expand Jane's world a little bit more. Yeah, we got to expand her world. Yeah. I think a part of the Fringe that we felt we were missing in that 45-minute show is that the ending wrapped up a little too neatly.
Yes.
Endometriosis is not that version ended with her like getting the diagnosis and sort of saying, hooray, my life is better. Unfortunately, that's not really the reality of getting a diagnosis. It definitely can help you get a treatment plan and manage your pain and absolutely makes life easier now that you know what you're dealing with. But there is so much that happens after that. So we kind of wanted to add a little bit more nuance into this life having to continue on after getting that diagnosis. These new characters definitely add, I think, I mean, it is a surreal comedy, but it adds a little more humanity to our main protagonist and helps us understand that this is a real world that we are living in.
I'm going to take this another direction and just ask, you know, Nora, you're already, you know, speaking. Why is the American healthcare system so disastrously, horrifically broken? Why does it take so much out of us and we do nothing about it? And all we can do is just accept that they monetize our pain.
Well,
this is Mouthing Off, Theater Arts and Culture Podcast on 94.1 Frogtown Radio. The question then is, how does the musical kind of address it? If it's an absurdist musical, so maybe that's part of the humor of it. Right.
Yeah. Someone asked me a similar question. We had a talk back a couple days ago. And honestly, it's absurd, but I feel like it just rings true to the feeling of having to go to the doctor and explain what hurts. it feels, you feel crazy. You get in that room and you sort of are like, it hurts here. And sometimes it hurts here. And it feels so difficult to advocate for yourself. And it feels so silly. And it feels like having to make yourself a character almost to fully get across what you're experiencing. So
sure.
The crazy heightened world that we live in this show, I think feels emotionally true to the real experience.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, they call it an operating theater, don't they? I mean, the whole thing in medicine, it's very, yeah, it is. It's like this stage. Yeah, it's very interesting.
That
yeah,
is very interesting. And the fact that you have to sort of, in order to get the confidence to be your own advocate, sort of play a part to get things done, yes, rather than like being, you know, just myself. To advocate for myself.
Oh, I mean, oh you know? Yeah.
That's crazy.
That can lead to disastrous outcomes. Like I had a NICU experience personally. And by the end, I had to come in and say, and this was during COVID time, I had to come in, mask and everything. And I had to say, what do we do to get them out of here? Can we do X, Y, and Z? I'm not trying to, you know, overshare here, but you had to be like, what do we do to get them out of here? Have we tried that? No. Oh, can we try that? Yes. Well, yeah. Okay. You know, and it's just strange. It's like you don't know what to ask. And then they would have kept them there another week. In any event, yeah, that advocacy is huge, you know. And again, we're not educated at all in this, and you're kind of left in limbo. Never mind that in America, once something goes wrong with you, you have the horrible sinking feeling, like what's this gonna cost?
Exactly.
You
know,
and then you gotta, it's Kafka-esque, isn't it? Yeah. Tara, do you have something to say about that?
No,
you're just agreeing. Okay. Yeah. No worries. Yeah.
She's I like, get it. She's like, yeah, right.
Yeah, right, right on. It's a right on moment. It's a right on moment. Okay, so we're dealing with a musical here. What is the what's the composition of like the musicians? Like, are there live musicians?
Yeah.
What do you have there? Okay, yeah, what's the story there?
We have three musicians. So there's a piano, a bass, and a drummer.
Cool.
It's a tricky space to do musical theater in the round, because it's in the round and the sound just travels differently in a space like that. None of the actors are mic'd on stage. So it was tricky to try and get the right levels for the piano, the bass, and the drum to make sure everybody can still be heard. But the music is incredible. The music is this like amazing, like contemporary musical theater pop sort of sound. It's so great. It's so catchy. We would text each other in the group text, Nora and I and all the rest of the cast every day. Like, what's your earworm for the day? Like it would be a different song every day that would be in your head. Cause it's just so catchy. And so the music is just so good. And it just adds. Yes.
Go ahead. I was just going to say, I think that's a hurdle that new musicals have to get over a lot is like, how catchy is your music? Like, are you walking out of the theater singing it? And I have many a musical don't have that experience. And I know we're part of this project, but gosh, I am such a fan. Like, I wish we had a cast album so I could listen to it.
Yes, me too. The whole cast wants a cast album. You heard that, Kristen?
You hear that, Frogtown Radio 94.1?
There you go. Yeah,
let's get it on the radio. This cast musical.
Yes, audience members have said the same thing. Like several audience members, and some of the theater bloggers who have come have also said, you know, gosh, if only there were a cast album to listen to, because the music is just that good.
If you doubt it, let me tell you. Last night there was a child in the audience who. Maybe don't bring your kids to this. I'd say it's maybe PG-13, but there was a child in the audience who, by the time we got to the finale, was legitimately singing along with us. I looked up at him, was singing the words along with us. So proof enough for me.
What are some of the numbers that people will hear at Endometriosis, the musical at Theater in the Round in Minneapolis? What are they going to hear?
Well, there's a song starring Aunt Flo called Aunt Flo. That's a very good song. It's towards the beginning of the play. There is a song called TMI, which stands for too much information, as a character in the play would say, which is also true. But it's just the lyrics. It's like there's a moment in the song TMI where a chorus comes out and we're singing just basically what's the word I'm looking for?
Euphemism after
euphemism. Yeah. Yeah. Just like singing a bunch of euphemisms for periods, some that you've maybe heard of, some that you haven't. Freaking hilarious.
Right.
It's a standout number for sure in the show, at least for me.
Sure.
And then there's also
sure.
the really poignant, like quieter moments where there's just this beautiful song called Hide that the women end act two with, the women of the play end act two with. Yeah, it's just a gorgeous number. Those are my favorites. What are your favorites?
Great.
Well, I'm partial to my solo number called My Sexy OBGYN.
God, you guys, oh, yes, that's my favorite too.
I feel like I really need this cast album because I need to know what I need to know what's going on.
It's so good. Yeah, it's so good.
And tell us a bit about like the musical stylings. Is it a pretty traditional musical theater score? Is it a little more poppy?
I'd say it's contemporary musical theater, but it can lean into the parody a little bit. We've got a number that definitely like harkens to like Little Shop of Horrors. We've got some like Sesame-esque moments. Like,
yes.
I think it's got its own style, contemporary musical theater, but there you'll catch some nods in there to some classic musical theater.
And I know Tara and I have talked about this before, and she's a musical. You do straight plays, Tara, and musical participate in musical theater.
Yes.
But is that, Nora, kind of your starting point was from musical theater into the theater world, or was it straight plays or something else, or?
Yeah, good question. I've been doing it. I did my first play when I was 5. I mean, I've been doing it forever. But as far as like the Twin Cities theater community goes, listen, if you look at my resume, it's all musicals. But I'm available for plays. You hear me?
Perfect. Yeah. Sometimes I hate asking that question because I never want to put anybody in a box because that's what casting directors do, right? That's sort of their job, but I do find it very strange that there is this the great schism between musical theater actors and like straight play actors or like Shakespeare or like classical or whatever, and they rarely cross,
which is so strange because in my humble opinion, I think it all has to stem from the acting. That's where it has to start.
Like, story. Yes,
you can have the most beautiful voice I've ever heard, but if you're not telling a story, I don't care. You know what I mean? So,
correct.
They yes. are separate worlds, but I don't think that they should be necessarily.
I think something really unique about our show, too, is that it sort of came from improv. I mean, Maria is an improv comedian. She is an incredible improv comedian.
Yeah.
And yes, there was a script, but in the Fringe version was extremely collaborative. I think a lot of the bits and jokes that made it through to this final version were things that we just kind of said as a joke in the room, not really expecting it to be part of the process. So I think the development of this piece was very based in collaboration and improv too. So
yes.
It was really cool to have Maria, who's really not involved in the theater world at all, be that sort of overseeing voice to it in the beginning. It makes the show very unique.
Absolutely.
And I'm not a writer, but Mari and Kevin, you can probably attest to this. Like if if you're trying to write this, I'm trying to write an endometriosis, like I'm trying to write a thing. Sometimes it has trouble coming out because you're trying so hard. Whereas like if you're coming from a different perspective of like the jokes about it or trying to make light of a really serious thing, then, scenes coming out of those like little jokes or thoughts or exchanges can turn into this beautiful, unexpected thing.
Yeah. You just want to sort of like, you don't want to be too precious about that first draft. You just want to spitball and just go and go and go. And it's going to be a mess. But if you trust yourself as a writer or your collaborators and you just come back and then you go, okay, this is the draft where we're going to focus on the plot. Does it all tie together? Does one thing lead to another, et cetera? What I would do is if I was writing Hernia, the musical, I would, and I had to write Hernia, my friend, the Hernia, I would imagine Rodney Dangerfield as the Hernia, right? And I would just write it like that. And then if it's too much Rodney, we would pare it back and add a little something. You know what I mean? So that's another trick you can use as a writer.
That sounds like it would fit perfectly into our show.
Uh-oh. Maria doing for next Fringe? Fringe 2026.
Right. Yeah, Hernia comes out. He's adjusting his tie,
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
And
take my groin, please.
Yes, and
It'd
so,
be
that
so
sort of
funny.
reminds me of it could be like sort of this like Richard the Third-esque thing too.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Cool. A
Oh.
rivalry. A rivalry.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I love
Yeah.
it.
It's so much fun. So how long is, again, let's hit the plugs one more time. So Amanda, do you have those?
I
I believe you
do.
did. Thank you.
Yeah, so Endometriosis, the musical at Theater in the Round. And it was written by Kristen Stoll and Maria Bartholdi. Am I saying their names correctly?
Yes.
Awesome. And you can buy tickets at theater, reintheround.org, theaterintheround.org. And it goes until July 13th on Fridays and Saturdays at 7:30 p.m., Sundays at 2 p.m.
We
So
do have
come
a sneak
out.
Thursday in there on the 10th.
Thursday
Oh,
the 10th.
Thursday the 10th as well.
To
Oh, good
make
to
up
know.
for, I think, missing the 4th of July, there's no show on the
Yes.
4th of July.
Excellent, excellent.
All
Sorry if
right.
that was confusing.
That's all right. Just go to the website, right? Tickets are
Go
on sale yet.
to
Go
the
to Minneapolis, go
website.
to Theater in the Round, go see this. We got to support live theater. That leads into my next question, which is maybe a little generic, but I like to ask it. And I'll go to Tara for this one. And Nora, we want to hear from you too. Why theater? Why now? 2025. What are we doing? We're writing. What are we doing? Writing these musicals and putting on these plays. You got a hit, it sounds like. But like finally, like what does this do that, Netflix can't do? We know the basic answers, right? It's live, it's immediate, but why are we doing this crazy thing?
Because
Why are you doing it?
why am I doing it? I just love to laugh. I love to laugh. I love to make other people laugh. I love to dance and sing around on stage. I love it. Because I'm an introvert in real life. I'm very introverted. And when I get up on stage, I don't need to look people in the eye.
Oh, right. I see. So all the social conventions fall away. You can just be your true
I can feel
self
like I
and
have
perform.
thousands of friends without needing to leave my house. I leave my house to go to the show, and then I can say, oh, I have thousands of friends. I think for why theater? Why now? Why we need it's all about community. Honestly, it's all about community. You're all in one big room together, experiencing the same thing at the same time, especially in a space like Theater in the Round, where you can literally see your fellow audience members across the way from you. It's really kind of a magical thing to be invested in something all together in one moment. Living in the moment, living in the present. I think that's one of the rare times that you can do that is at the theater. That's my answer.
Lauren, love that answer. Fantastic answer. That actually gave me an insight. I had always wondered this, and I had never understood how somebody could be introverted in an actor. But of course you can. And now I feel like I have a better insight into that because I
Okay,
am a
good.
horrible extrovert. I'm an embarrassing extrovert.
Well, let's
You're
not be in
yeah.
your life. You'd
No,
probably
well, yeah,
scare
no. I'm sure we'd get along fine, right? Nora, what are your thoughts on that question?
I mean, I was going to say the exact same thing. There is so much to be said for a communal experience, especially now when it's so much easier to not interact with people around you. And I think with everything, but with comedy in particular, and with this show in particular, it is so cathartic to like look around and realize that everyone is feeling similar or having a reaction to the same thing that you are. I don't be afraid. The audience interaction is very minimal, but it's like my favorite part of the show that I get to just kind of go out there and be part of the crowd for like a second and remind everyone that, hey, we are all just people. I know I'm an actor up here, you're watching me, you paid to be here, but like we're all doing this together. The show only works if the audience is reacting to it. Otherwise, we're
Yes.
just making fools of ourselves on stage.
Yeah, it's one of the last spaces. Where just secular society, right? Across, we're not thinking about religion directly. Everybody can get together, and you just focus on one thing. It's all happening in the room. It's not mediated by a screen, and you pay to share this like childlike wonder. Like you pay to take your guard down. And we live in such a transactional. Like that payment is actually really important because that's the permission it shows you care, and you're giving yourself permission to just relax and take 90 minutes and just believe whatever they throw at you. I think it's beautiful. Yeah, Amanda.
Yeah, and I think there's definitely amount of trust that goes into that as well, where I don't, you know, it's so hard to find loyal and trustworthy people, you know, because like you said, everybody has their guard up and you kind of have to. So the amount of trust that the audience puts in you and that you put, artists put in the audience to show up and just take them on that ride is also really special too.
Yes, it's my favorite relationship. It really is.
And I, Tara, I love what you said about the theater in the round, and it's my favorite type of space to perform in. And I truly think that proscenium stages should be outlawed. They are a thing of the past. They are over. You cannot bow out. You cannot look away. You cannot check your phone. You cannot do any of that stuff because I want other audience members to look at you, and I want to look at you, and I also want to be 2 feet away from you as an actor and perform. So you can't escape because I can't escape.
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know. And I love that though. I love that.
Me
you
too.
Know?
Me Ugh. Too. Yes.
Yeah, there's so much tension and risk just implicit in it, right? Everybody knows, every adult in the room knows that person's got a bunch of lines memorized, like, let's go. You know, it's play. It's there are real stakes always. And I think sometimes that's lost on people who maybe get a little in their heads about what it is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there are always stakes. The wedding play, Perfect Wedding, Amanda.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Together.
Yes. And Terry, you were wonderful in that. I had so much fun. We laughed and laughed. Yeah. And just that, it's like just a great comedy. Like, that's okay. You can do that. It doesn't always have to be this leaden, you know, experience. Yeah. So fun.
I think that has such merit. And I think what people would call quote unquote fluff pieces, I think are so important and so vital because we need that. We need that in our lives. We need to just like turn off our brain for a minute and laugh and be around people who are also laughing and turning off their brain. Like, it's just, it's so incredibly important.
They say it's medicine, but I believe that. Yes. You got to laugh. You got to keep laughing with other people. We're social animals. We're social beings. And there you are, Amanda.
Yeah. And even, you know, with all of the disagreements and everything that happened outside of the theater and online and this and that, you wouldn't know who you're sitting next to and what their opinions are about XYZ. But wow, how uniting to know that we're laughing at this guy, this, you know, doofy person on stage who trips and, you know, causes this other person to trip and fall. And, you know, somebody gets caught with their pants down and, you know, sure, whatever, that you're laughing at the same things and,
right,
and, you know, oh, that's okay. We do have things in common.
You know? Or you were there a night where maybe a mishap might have happened.
Did a mishap happen? Okay. Yeah. All right. We got to hear it.
Between us and that audience from last night, but they know what they saw. It was, everyone's okay. It was very funny.
It may be too gross to share for the radio. So we'll leave that for the audience.
I love it when that happens, though. I love it when something unexpected happens. Maybe it's not what you wanted to happen in a scene, but it's a living, alive thing theater is. And I think that's so cool.
Yeah, absolutely. The risk of it is just so great. And I find myself saying this again and again, but as society becomes more embedded in the digital and the online and these screens, which have some merit, but it's overdone. There's too much of it. And, you know, people I do believe are going to crawl back to the theater. And if not the majority of people, enough people, and hopefully we can save society. I mean, like, I really believe those, every laugh at Perfect Wedding is like, it's like social oil or lubricant. It's like, it's just letting society exist as a human society. And we're reminding ourselves that it's okay to be vulnerable in public. And as Amanda said, with strangers, share an experience. Well, they can't be that bad. Maybe we don't need to burn the city down. You know what I mean? Or maybe we need to get more involved in our city, right? We have more in common than not. Yeah, I think that's true. Who loves a good fluff piece? I love a good fluff piece. A perfect marriage was a hoot. We've mentioned it a few times. Tara, just for people who maybe don't know what that is, where was that done and what theater was that at? We want to give them credit if we're shouting it out.
Perfect Wedding.
Perfect Wedding
was at Sidekick Theater in Bloomington. Amanda and I were in that together. It was I actually, just before coming on here, because your girl likes to do some research, I listened to that. I finally listened to it.
I love it. I love it. So you're going to be sick of this extrovert by the time it's over. You're going to be done. You're going to be exhausted. Here, I want you to, we're on Zoom. I want you to look me in the eye now. You know, exactly. So let's get Nora back in. So Nora, so how long does this run? Remind me.
Yeah, we're running through the 13th. The show's about 2 hours with a 15-minute intermission.
Okay, yeah, good. There's a nice intermission. So what's next for this? Is it going to travel? Are there any plans? It seems like it's unstoppable. And then what's next for you? Do you have any plans? And then Tara, I'd like to hear that too.
Yeah, we don't have a clear future yet for the show, other than it's not done yet. I know they've got quite a few ideas bouncing around in their heads on where to bring it next. Like I said, it's still a developing piece, so I'm sure the next version will be not the same as this one. So you'll be very lucky if you come and see this show, because it may not ever be performed like this again.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Yeah, you can't. Yeah, you got to be able to say, I saw Endometriosis, the musical, at Theater in the Round in Minneapolis in 2025. What a great experience.
Exactly. And that's theater. When we're up on that stage collecting that Tony, you can go online and brag.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Just torture your friends online.
Yeah. I don't have anything lined up right now. I am available. That's the
hey, no, I love it. That's great. That's great. And I'm sure you're probably not hard to find. I mean, you're an actor, so great. Terry, do you have anything lined up? What are you hoping to do next?
I don't have anything on stage lined up right now. I work over at the Ordway Center in the production department. So I've been doing that for a little bit over a year, and doing theater pretty much full time at the same time for just as long. This is coming after years of doing theater just freelance. So I'm tired. So I think after this I might take a little break and just do my day job, is also in the arts, which is freaking amazing. That's what I've got going on.
That's great. No, that's good. I appreciate the candid answers. I mean, sometimes it really is when you've done, because you did a perfect wedding and then you did this. It's like after that period, gosh, I mean, that first week where you're like, clear the decks. I'm just going to do my, you know, my paying work and just be free to let the mind. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. It's hard, man. It's hard to do double duty. You feel like you're Hannah Montana or something, you know, like you're performing at night. You put the wig on.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I know what that means. Yeah, totally. Hannah, yeah. As the resident hernia, you know, person, women can get hernias too. I think it's way more common in men. Yeah. Cool. So are you both from, Minnesota? Are you, you're okay. Natives. Let's circle back around again. Nora, what happened that you suffer the affliction of theater making? Where did it start?
Blame it on my mom.
Yeah.
She
right.
Likes to joke, but this is not a joke, but she says it like a joke, that when she was pregnant with me, she would put headphones on her belly and make me listen to Les Mis. So started in utero. I was immediately bitten by the bug. I mean, it's been my whole life. I used to live in Michigan, and I did a couple of like children's theater shows there as a child, moved here, and just kept it in my life ever since. I think I only started like in earnest auditioning in the Twin Cities in like 2021. So, it's not been long for me. I'm loving where I've been so far. I've had some wonderful experiences in town and can't wait to see what else comes my way.
My story started with Les Mis as well.
Yep. Master of the house. Keeper of the inn. Yep. Oh my word. My mother became obsessed with Les Mis. She played that over and over in the house.
Same, same. At home. Incredible. And I would sing along to Castle on a Cloud as a little kid. Yes.
Oh my word.
Oh my God.
Gosh. It's the Les Mis episode. It's a perfect musical. It's a perfect piece of art.
It's like the Les Mis of endometriosis.
Oh geez. Yeah.
Two shows that are exactly the same.
I was going to say tonally identical.
Yeah, fun. I mean, yeah, that's such a that thing had such an impact, but you don't necessarily hear about it very much right now. Like, it seems like the cultural footprint has maybe vanished, but you ask people and it's just there. Les Mis. Yeah, Les Mis. So Yeah, Les Mis. It's just like we're all kind of passionate about this quirky thing. And then you're doing this quirky musical and you're getting a draw. That's what's a little shocking. Like, how on earth did Endometriosis the musical? I drove by Theater in the Round. I think I was coming back from Minneapolis for some reason. Traffic was gnarly. And I look at it and I look over it and I go, what? I remember. Yeah. And I'm
I
like,
think that's
what?
exactly why. I think that
Yeah.
the
Oh,
name
yeah.
is
Fun.
so bizarre that people
Yeah.
are like, I gotta know what's going on in there.
Sure. Yeah. It's kind of, it doesn't follow like a cat. It's not catchy and it's in your face and it's funny. And it's a fun word to say, endometriosis. Kind of, it's got a little song in it, doesn't it? Endometriosis. It does. Yeah. Yeah.
Endometriosis.
There
Oh,
you
wait,
are. Yeah.
change.
Yeah. You're gonna think.
I
Yeah.
also think when it debuted at the Fringe, I mean, the Minnesota Fringe Festival is such a wonderful, wonderful place. It's like Disneyland to me. And it's got some of the wackiest shows you'll ever find every year. It's a breeding ground for creativity, the Fringe Festival. So something like Endometriosis the Musical as a title, as a concept, wasn't totally out of the norm at Fringe, but it was still sort of catchy. People came and saw it. Obviously, they liked it. Outside of the Fringe world, yeah, it's a little bizarre.
Yeah, I mean it's a fringe title, and then here it is. It sort of made its way to a main stage. I love that story. And people who don't make theater maybe don't understand what a big deal that is. But most 99% of fringe productions die at the cast party after after somebody embarrasses himself horribly or something. You know what I mean? Yeah, well, or not. But yeah, they just go the fringe, they do it and it's over. And that's fine. I'm like, that's not like a failure, if you have a solidly, well-received fringe show, that could be the highlight of your theater career. I mean, it's like we're not going into this to try to pay our college debt or whatever else, right? So that's a lot of fun. How does the Theater in the Round, how do they program their season and everything? Is it sort of they just grab what grabs their attention? I mean, are they curating work? Are they producing work themselves? I'm not that familiar with the venue. It's been a while. It's a cool place, and I like that area. Yeah.
This is sort of a unique venture for them. They typically do published works. They do a lot of classics
Ah,
combined with a lot of
right.
contemporary work. Like they're doing published plays. I don't know the facts on this, but this may be one of their first, if not their first, like forays into original productions.
Oh, I love that. Oh, that's such a good experience for everybody involved. Hopefully maybe that starts to engender more of that.
Yeah, fingers
That's
crossed.
yeah, that's where my heart lies. I just think if I was was the commander of the American Reich, I would put the kibosh on Shakespeare for a year. Nobody would be allowed to do Shakespeare for a year, and they would have to do new works. I would say that. I would say we could go a year without Hamlet. Hamlet can take a break. 1 year. Just 1 year.
One year, yeah.
Doesn't this sound like a good idea? And it all goes to new works.
I love new works as well. I'm with
Yeah.
you.
They can coexist. Maybe I'm a little harsh in my imaginary Reich. Yeah. So has there been a lot of audience feedback? Like people who've suffered from this and have kind of come up to you and said, "Oh my God, it was so funny." Is there especially loud laughter? Some poor person who really gets it, Huh.
Yes. Yeah, the
Oh, fun.
audiences have been really enjoying it across the board so far. And I think pretty much at ev almost every performance, I come out afterwards and someone has an experience or knows somebody who has had an experience with endometriosis. Because it is so common.
Yeah.
But
Huh.
audience reactions have been great.
Yeah,
Really
people feel
across the board, yeah.
very seen. Last night, mid-show, we had someone go, "Yes, girl," from the crowd.
Oh, that's hard to get. Laughs are
I
easy.
know.
Yes, girls,
Yeah.
those are hard. Yeah.
I have just a quick personal story about audience reaction. I have a close friend who I grew up with and saw our Fringe production, loved it, really resonated, then came to our full production opening weekend and let me know that since seeing our Fringe production, she's been seeking an endometriosis diagnosis. She was not familiar with the disease before the show, felt that it rang very true to her experience, and is now a couple years into that process. So, I mean, that to me is we have achieved every goal we ever could have set out to achieve.
Yeah.
That there is someone
Yes.
out there that has sort of gone down this path of self-advocacy and healthcare and is trying to attempt to better their life quality.
Yeah.
And to get there in such a, entertaining sort of weird way. Like, it's not like we're just, you know, standing up there and like preaching about this disorder and the healthcare industry. And this show is freaking hilarious.
No, we're making poop jokes about it. Like,
it's insane. Sure. It's insane. It's so, yeah. And so it's like, it's really special in that way where people can enjoy a show that much and think it's so crazy and over the top, but then at the same time say, you know what? I learned something today and I'm going to go, you know, figure out what's going on here in my life because you know what I mean? It's
sure.
It's just such a special thing, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like it. I mean, I can't think of anything else. I mean, I can't think of anything else quite like this. Yeah, not off the top of my head. I mean, maybe there's something, but not happening now. So you cornered the endomeat. I lost it. I knew I was going to lose it in the middle of the show. We're coming to the end.
Between the two of us, gastroenterologist and endometriosis.
I need to see the word endometriosis. You've cornered that market. That was right. What I was trying to say. You've cornered that market. It's also, it occurs to me that maybe it's, because it's about like human vulnerability and we're all just these squishy things just wandering through the world, trying not to get stabbed and run over, you know, a million things. And then our bodies revolt and turn on us. And for women, it's like this organ that is sort of about reproduction and sex and everything. And then it turns on you and this is like your own body, or you suddenly an intestine pops out of a part of your body. You're just going, oh my God, what am I doing? You know, it's that's what a hernia is, Mari. Don't make that face. You know, it's a real thing.
I don't like to hear it though.
No. I mean, have you seen,
you have to write a song about it.
Oh, right. Yeah. I have to, exactly. Okay. I have to sort of, a spoonful of sugar, right? Well, we're coming to the end of this episode of Mouthing Off, the Theater Arts and Culture podcast from Bad Mouth Theater Company on 94.1 FM Frogtown Radio. We are at badmouthtc.com. We're a little tiny little theater company, itinerant in the Twin Cities. And you can find us there. You can find the pod there. And then wherever you find your podcasts in the round. This was in the round. We had five people. I think the max we've ever done was maybe six or seven, but this went very well. It was very smooth. There wasn't much crosstalk, and this was so much fun. And Amanda, thank you for welcoming these guests on. One more time, can we hit the plugs, and then we'll say goodbye to Tara and Nora.
Yes, it is Endometriosis, the musical, Theater in the Round. .org, theater RE in the round.org is where you get your tickets. So please go out because you know you're going to want to sit in the audience and say, yes, yes, girl.
Yeah, and, yes, girl. Yeah, yeah. Yes. Throw out some yes, girls. They'll know it's the Mouthing Off, audience. Yeah, yes. Exactly.
That's the crowd, why I am coming, but I'm not going to tell you, Tara and Nora, when I am coming, but you will know. Tara knows my laugh. It's pretty
good. I do.
That also, my laugh should be its own character. And there, yeah. Nora, Tara, thank you guys so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. Break legs with the rest of the run. And thank you so much for taking the time.
Amazing. And I'll just, yes, thank you so much. And I'll just say, if you want to come back on the pod at any point, and this is for anybody in the Twin Cities who has something to promote, Fringe, anything else, we love meeting new guests and theater people. Badmouthtc@gmail.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye. Take care.
Bye. All right,
bye.